This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to Herb Howard for hanging out for two segments. Thank you to Trista Crick. And also thank you to Russ Dorsey.
Happy birthday to Trista Crick.
An exotic locale. Yes. Happy belated, I believe, was yesterday her birthday.
Yesterday. Yeah, to the homie Trista.
So many late May birthdays.
The Gemini season is upon us.
Terrifying.
We had fantastic guests and fantastic insights today from all three of those guests. And Russell wasn't even in studio. I couldn't even harass him in real life.
No, yeah. And then you harassed his headspace and his camera. Well, and then he told you he got Dunkin' coffee.
Yeah, I mean, he looked awkward on the camera.
So. Thanks to our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer. Thanks to our Twitch video masters. They are Jenna Duddleston, Matt Anaya, and Connor O'Donnell. And I'm sorry I said Matt Spiegel. It's Sarah Spain.
Hi.
Yay.
Yeah, Sarah answered the call. I was like, look, Spiegs is out. I got to find someone to host the show with me. And so we were talking as a show, and I said, what do you think Sarah would do it? And they're like, don't you know her? I'm like, yeah, I can ask her. And so I hit her up and she's like, yeah, I got time. So she's going to hang out with me from 2 until 5. And then Cassie Carlson is going to come do like an Extendo Bears report with me at 5 o'clock.
Extendo?
Today. I like that.
I think it's because you heard me on their show. So you got to give them credit.
I agree. I love the way that you guys were chopping it up last week. And I figured you might have a slot with all of the stuff that's going on for your book to come and hang out.
Yeah. I mean, technically, you guys were like the fluffer. Because
technically,
well, I mean, a couple segments, but I'm going 3 hours with Lawrence,
yeah,
so
that's fair. No, I had to go through that one a minute, but I'm with you, Sarah. Yeah. No, you're right. We just fluffed it out.
Well, I'm laughing because you said technically, and I'm like, I think still metaphorically.
Still metaphorically. Yes, I didn't say literally. I didn't say literally.
Technically, she was the figurative fluffer.
I literally just finished texting your husband, too.
Well, literally. Sorry, hubby. Already embarrassing the family name.
Oh, we love Brad.
Pretty standard.
We love Team Sarah Brad.
Oh, my God. So, yes, we are going to have a fun time today, but we love hanging out with you guys. Like, I don't even know. I haven't even really gotten to, because Layla continues to deflect. Sarah, I don't know if you know this. These two, a couple nights ago, did the seventh inning
stretch. I'm aware because I'm extremely jealous. And I will occasionally text my friends at the Cubs and be like, okay, so this guy that didn't even win The Bachelor and isn't from here got to throw out the first pitch. Or so this lady who was on like one episode of whatever got to sing the stretch. How long have I lived here and been a part of this culture?
Why did Robbie Triano, Alex Kuhn, and Ray all just
that
jump
was fire,
up?
Sarah.
I get mad.
Hey,
I'm
Sarah.
Like, this guy didn't even make it to Fantasy Suites, and he's up here singing the stretch.
Wait, they're called Fantasy Suites?
Yeah. We describe that as a call to action for the people up at Wrigleyville.
What up, Cubs?
Yeah, we've also been trying to, and we get it. Like, they don't have their games here anymore, but hey, White Sox. The afternoon show is open for business if you need someone to throw out the first pitch.
I think they just let the couple fans in the crowd do it, right?
Don't do that. That's disrespectful.
Actually, it's quite the opposite.
I want you to know one of those fans just a couple weeks ago. My husband's been helping out with this Venezuelan family that got placed here, and he's helping them, you know, get settled in the city. And so they really wanted to see a Venezuelan player, and unfortunately the Cubs don't have anyone on the roster right now. So we went to the White Sox. We brought like 12 of us, which was most of the audience, and we just really luxuriated in an entire section.
The disrespect.
This is why I asked her to come on the show.
It's just real life.
She's been on the air 5 minutes and she's got candy for everybody.
The blowtorch to the Sox, though. They're coming off a nine-run performance against a Mets team that hadn't given up 9 runs this season.
I'm ready to trade Andrew Benintendi and get something in return.
That's a fair thing to do. I think trading Andrew Benintendi makes sense.
I'm a little over my skis.
There's a lot of stuff with them organizationally that I still need to figure out. Like,
it's not insulting to Andrew. It's just I'm like, trade him while he's hot. Let's go.
Yeah, trade him while he's hot. Yeah. Get more money off your books so that you can then not spend money.
But also, like, would we be telling the story of the Sox figuring it out if not for the Rockies?
It's an excellent question that you asked, Sarah, and it's something that we have been discussing on this particular show. Because Spiegs' whole thing has been the White Sox are turning the corner. So then we've been trying to talk about the concept of, is it the sharp right turn or is it the soft? Right. Like, if we're at the corner of Fullerton, Elston, and Damon, are they? I don't think they're turning down Damon. Right. It feels like they're turning down Elston.
Are they pivoting a kayak or turning a barge? Right. Is what
or
you're
was
saying.
The end of Thelma and Louise a corner, or was it a cliff?
It was a cliff.
Just don't hit the bridge. It is definitely an obtuse, not acute turn in angle, and it's going to take a while.
But here's the thing, though, and this is what Speaks and I kind of came back to. I said, you do realize that their record right now is not significantly better than it was at the same time last year.
That's what I'm saying. You just have the Rockies to look down on.
No, I don't even think it's that.
It's the underachievement with the talent. Like Russ talked about it, Pedro Grifol and the combination of the big-name talent that the White Sox had at the time. Like, keep in mind, Garrett Crochet at this time last year was still on the White Sox, and Garrett Crochet is likely your AL Cy Young winner.
Also, Eric Fetty exists as well. And just overall, the offense is more watchable than it was last year.
Okay. If you say so.
They scored 9 runs.
I am winning. I like baby steps, and I like positivity. While we do that, I will also clown a franchise that needs to figure it the F out.
Hey, listen, you have the little red nose in your back pocket and ready to put out and put on someone.
Yeah.
I think it says more about baseball than it does the White Sox when you consider that we are talking about the Rockies in the same breath after history was achieved last year.
Well, the type of history that they're running into, like, it is ridiculous. I know SportsCenter is doing it every night. Did the Rockies win? Is now become a segment on SportsCenter every night? And the answer is usually no, because they're 9-47. They've won 16% of their games.
And remember, last year at the end of the season, we were talking about, oh man, this record, it should stand for a while. This is a really hard record. And the Rockies are like, not only hold my beer, but also hold my shot, too. Yeah, hold
my
shot. Hold everything, because this is impressive, actually, to be this bad.
Wait, what is, because I would argue, if I'm giving you baseball as the worst sport to already know that the season is a loss on day one because it's so long, is that worse or is it football where you're like, I'm going out there putting my body on the line where I might suffer tremendous physical harm in pursuit of nothing? Because baseball, at least, like, I'm out in the sun playing the game.
I think it's definitely baseball. I'll tell you a story. My college roommate, right, he's from Detroit. He lived in New Orleans when the Lions went 0-for. So he paid for a Sunday ticket. And every Sunday, because he paid for it, it's like, I'm watching. And to know that in football, it's hard to go 0-for, right?
Right.
And so every week he thought this might be the week, because it's not just about you. It's about any given Sunday and the team, and you just get a win. With this Rockies team, you know they're going to win more games. But the level of play has been... They're not going to go 9-153. They're not going to go 9-153. But even in wins, they can still look so bad.
Right.
You can just... The other team played worse than you that day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I think the difference is, too, in the NFL, it is only 17 games. The likelihood of you winning a single game against any opponent is high, and they're usually decided by one score. So when you consider all of that, the higher likelihood of winning a football game is there. And the more people you have on a team participating at any given time. I think this is a sad state of affairs when it comes to talking about the league as a whole. Like, we've talked about the lack of middle class, not just in America, but in baseball as well. And that being a big part of the reason for teams struggling the way that they have. You know, a lot of teams aren't like the Angels, where they're willing to pay more than the veteran minimum for guys who have earned it over the time of their career. Mm. And that's what happens. That's where the difference is. That's the difference in these games.
The Ouroboros sort of snake eating itself of like what comes first or what feeds the other thing, which is the regional contracts. If your team is so bad and unwatchable, you don't want to watch their games. But then also, like, if the regional networks are going away and allowing for people to watch, then like that feeds out the revenue that goes into everything else and keeps and supports a league that needs to find better balance.
Are you saying that it was maybe not the best time for the White Sox and their ownership to start a regional sports network? Is that what you're saying? Timing is off.
No, I think it's great.
I mean, I would also
like that it's over the air, though. I won't lie. I use that intent every day.
I would also like to point this out. It's really debilitating because it's Denver, and that Denver is considered the media hub for so much of a significant part of the Rocky Mountain states. Denver is the biggest market. It's still considered, like, in Wyoming, in southern Wyoming, if Denver covers your story, it's still considered a big deal. Like, the reach of Denver geographically when it comes to your sports teams is also massive. And that's what makes this even more frustrating, I think.
I would agree on the original point with Sarah that the football is worse, and here's why. The contracts in baseball are guaranteed. Hi, yep. Chris Bryant. How's it going, Chris Bryant?
Speaking of Chris Bryant, has anyone, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get a million examples if I put this out there. Who else has front-loaded a career that extreme? Because a lot of people start out hot and fizzle, but I'm talking MVP at every single level.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah, at the minor leagues, then in the MLB, and then wins it all, and then World Series, like all of that, and then just...
I want the Chris Bryant documentary exactly for that reason. I'm fascinated by it because you talk about the guy that had everything. He's really good at baseball. He had all the money. He's super good looking. He won a World Series. You hadn't noticed? I had.
Wink, wink.
Married his high school sweetheart.
Have the comp.
All the stuff.
But I also wonder if he still has it all. And this is what I'm curious about with him. And I don't know much about him as a person. I've obviously met him a handful of times, but we haven't hung out. He doesn't drink. He wanted to start a family. He was a guy who maybe didn't love baseball the same way as some other guys. Mm. So maybe getting sent somewhere where people don't care as much if you're not crushing it. You make millions of dollars. You live in a beautiful place. You get to have your kids and your wife and your life.
And is it that bad is what you're...
I guess I'm wondering that. I'm not assigning that to him, but it's curious. So, for instance, we always talk about that with, like, Mike Trout. We can hate on Mike Trout for not wanting to go somewhere and get in the record books as a multi-time World Series champ. But Mike Trout gets to live somewhere nice, make millions of dollars, be heralded for his all-time war.
Go to Eagles games.
He's loyal.
I have the Chris Bryant comp, by the way.
And it might not even just be loyalty so much as like, this is what I want. Just leave me alone. I don't want to be on the grandest stage in Yankee Stadium with everything on the line. I want to just play baseball all the time, make millions of dollars, go surfing after work, and then like be left alone. So, you know,
what's your comp?
Dwight Gooden.
Ooh.
Rookie of the year.
Okay.
Cy Young the next year. Won the World Series the next year, and then made a couple All-Stars, and then, yeah.
They made a couple decisions.
Very different circumstances.
Yes, self-inflicted.
Wait, maybe Chris Bryant's on that.
Wow.
Maybe someone gave him a sip of alcohol and things took a turn.
I will say that if you have a degenerative spine condition or whatever that spine condition is that he has,
scary,
I'm not sure if it's degenerative. For anybody who knows back pain and back surgery and how debilitating to your life it can be, that is something that always concerns me.
I have two bulging discs, a degenerative disc, and a herniated disc in my spine.
So tell me about how it affects your daily life.
Being a heptathlete, my spine is dust. It sucks. I can't do anything.
And like, is there not a minute where you're not thinking about it?
No, because I have to be like pretty much in control of like the position that I'm in. So I can't like run and jump or like do things where I, like if I step off a curb wrong. Yeah, it sucks.
And then you add in age, like in that type of stuff where it's like, oh, why is my shoulder hurt? I slept.
Yeah.
That's why my shoulder hurts.
It's also height. Like Chris Bryant is tall. You're tall. Like you know how I'm sure that factors in. I don't need to tell you about it. You know, you can tell us.
Yeah, no, it sucks. Yeah, it's terrible. And I feel bad for him, but I think maybe I'm just also telling myself that story in the hopes that it's true, because I was such a fan of his and he was such a joy to watch and cover. And that year was such a dream that I want to believe that he's just like enjoying life in Colorado and not as disappointed by how things have turned out as we all are.
I don't think that you're wrong in opening it up. because think about it. If any of us had accomplished everything that he had done, like if it's still like not on your list of things, and we see the guys, we've seen a bunch of guys ring chase in the NBA. It's like, I don't care. I'll be the 12th man on the bench in Utah or Seattle or wherever and try to win a ring. But maybe it is like you get all the things and the money. And it's like, I do enjoy baseball, but maybe I don't enjoy it with the pressure of a place like Chicago or New York or Philadelphia. I grew up in Las Vegas. It's a pretty easy flight from Denver.
Right.
We get to have this beautiful place. Coors Field's really nice. Maybe once you get to some, maybe there are some personalities that play in these games where, oh, I got the thing. I got the thing and I have all these trophies back here. I just kind of want to play ball and hang out with my kids. I don't think
that there's... Well, I'm too young to like just retire necessarily, even if that's maybe actually what his brain wants. I just talked to April Ross, the really fantastic professional volleyball player who just retired last fall. She was just on my show, Good Game with Sarah Spain, which you can subscribe to anywhere.
I like the hat, by the way.
Thank you. Stitch God, local Chicagoan who does stuff for the Bulls and Vic Mensa and Chance and everybody. She handmade it, which is freaking sick.
Very cool.
At the Stitch God or at Stitch God. She talked about how she won the Olympics. She had won gold, silver, bronze. She'd done it all. She wanted to have a kid, had a kid. Then she was really dedicated to coming back from baby. She wanted to prove to herself that she could do it. And game one of the season, after she came back from baby, having won everything, she's like, oh, no, I don't want it. I have nothing really pushing me. And this is such a grind. It's such hard work. And I never needed it before because there was something authentic driving me. And now that I don't have that thing. And it's been a really interesting conversation to have with a lot of retired athletes, Megan Rapinoe, Sue Bird, Abby Wambach, all these players talking about how the thing that sucks is when your pursuit is of greatness. When you get it, it lasts for a day. It lasts the day you win and the celebration that night. And the next day, even if you're still celebrating, it's still not the same because now the only thing that will get you back there is winning it again. And they're like, don't pursue greatness, pursue happiness, because greatness is ephemeral and often doesn't solve any of the problems that you think it will.
And I think if you've talked to Chris Bryant at length, the thing that I always appreciated about him was I'd laugh like Chris Bryant was like the kid that your parents would like compare you to growing up. You know,
going yes.
Like, Chris Bryant sets his alarm for 6 o'clock. Why don't you?
Like Chris Bryant is always on time for practice and never leaves his cleats.
Listen to what Chris Bryant had to say about a tough situation. You know, why can't you be that way? And I say that not in that he's not genuine. I'm saying that he was genuine. Yeah, and that's a hard part of this, too, is like I feel like we got genuine conversation out of him. Like he was that nice person. Like he was, I think, put in a hard position because so many hopes and dreams were placed upon him. Mm-hmm. But then he earned it.
He fulfilled them, too.
Right, exactly. So when you fulfill them, then what is it that you have earned that you want?
Right.
I felt that way when Anthony Davis wanted to be traded to the Lakers. I was like, hasn't he earned that at this point in his career? And I thought he had.
There are a few occasions, I think, where people get that. Like, remember Kevin Garnett was one of the few occasions where most of that city were like, you know what? You should go.
Yeah, you should leave. Yeah.
Like, you should get out of here.
We're totally okay with you going to go chase your dream to win a title because you're never going to win one here.
Yeah, and that's a rare occasion. You got to give a place enough and have them feel that you authentically tried and cared, and then you have to be somewhere so unrelentingly futile that people are like, get out of here.
To your point about the athletes who were motivated and like what's going on, I don't know if you guys heard what AJ Brown said after winning the Super Bowl. He thought everything that he'd been working so hard for would be justified, and then he won it and he was like, that's not what I thought it would feel like, and now just kind of I'm out here.
Look,
a lot of them say that. There's an Olympic letdown, basically, they say. When you've spent, especially those Olympic sports where you start training at like 5 and then you finally win it. Oh, I'm going to have it all. You're like, oh, I actually still have all my problems.
And I think there's something to learn from that in everyday life. Like, not just athletes. I think that there's a lot of us that are looking for the next mountain.
Chasing.
And you're like, this mountain, the view from this mountain is actually pretty good.
This is Lawrence trying to tell you he deserves a Fiat. Yeah. That's what this is turning into.
I think I've made the choice, Layla. I don't think it's going to be a Fiat.
Oh, I love it. I want to hear this on the next House of L. Also, the flip side is Simone Biles is enjoying her life right now, and then people are criticizing her for that.
Right.
Yeah. Some people, if you start listening to the people in the stands or the bystanders, you can't make all those people happy. So
And usually if they're mad at you for your choices, they're dissatisfied with their own.
Correct.
And that just makes me have empathy for them. And it makes me not mad. When people are mean to me on the internet, I just did this the other day. Some guy came out of nowhere, clearly sought me out just to sense me. I go, hey man, it sounds like something might be going on and I hope it gets better. And he was like, got real mad. And I was like, you probably aren't in a place to recognize it now. But when you do, and you think about, why did I go looking for Sarah Spain's Instagram to send her these awful messages? And what was going on in my life? You'll think to yourself, you know what? That was a bad time. And I'm glad things are better now. Because who does that? Who's happy?
Somebody
and then
desperate
goes,
for attention.
Yeah.
Because like, misery needs company.
Happy. So just don't listen to those people. Especially if you're Simone Biles. She should be doing whatever the hell she wants.
If she hasn't earned it, who has?
Right.
I'm thinking S5 now.
I want to be like you.
Are we going dream car within reason?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So I was actually out at our friends at the Audi Exchange out in St. Charles on Friday, and I test drove an S5, and I think that might be it.
If they give it to you for free because you just dropped there.
No, did
you happen to drive the R8 while you were there?
No, I don't want to. See, the thing is, I don't want to go too crazy here.
Why?
You just tap the gas pedal.
Is this a midlife crisis?
Tap the gas pedal.
Sarah, 100%.
He's been running around the building.
If it's a midlife crisis, full send, Lawrence.
Midlife crisis. R8, baby. I don't buy it.
100%. But I also,
just let me know how that gas pedal feels on the R8.
I mean, the S5 is 333 horsepower. It's pretty fast.
Is there enough?
I don't know anything about what you guys are saying.
I'm an Audi guy. Okay. Audi S5 is kind of been, I've been looking for something for my 50th, which is next week.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that
the
might.
Big
happy birthday in advance.
Happy birthday.
Gemini season, baby.
You know what? You're a crazy June.
You're a crazy June Gemini.
I'm just a regular May
Gemini.
That's
cute. That's cute about, well, this is the one I want him to look up. That's cute about your little 332. The Audi R8 has 608.
I mean, Layla coming at your neck.
I'm just going concept car.
Well,
let's
like
rock.
It fast. Okay. If the Land Rover people are listening, I want a Defender 90. I don't want a fast, speedy car. I want the old school ones that look like kind of like a mail truck that you painted.
A tank.
An old school Bronco or a Defender 90, like a 1990 Defender, not the new kind, the old kind. That's what I want.
I can picture your dogs just like happily sitting in the back of their heads
and like some surfboards. I don't surf, but I'll put them in there and I'll look cool.
I'm a simple girl.
I just want a V14 Mercedes.
That works. I thought about old school cars too. And there's one, and Brian McCaskey of the Hallis McCaskeys, he has a 1972 Olds 442, which is just cherry. It is so beautiful. The car that he owns is beautiful. And I saw one while I've been out on this midlife crisis, and I was like, I should do that. But then
maintenance, like, upkeep.
The concept of a convertible to me here, unless you got real money, to me seems.
But you're bald.
Your hair wouldn't get tangled.
Yeah, that's like a murder for my hair. I would say this though, if I had the
no, for real, most of my hair
going,
is fake. It would fly down the street.
Mine is not, but it just gets tangled. I think I would go with like renovating my mom's old like she doesn't have it anymore, but like a cherry red V8 78 Nova with the passing gear, go muscle car.
Oh, you're legit into cars.
Oh yeah. Layla's got a lot of.
That's why when he's like,
there's a lot of guys listening. Like, whoa, that's hot.
But when he's talking about Audis, I'm like, nah, let's go R8. Like, stop it. Let's go.
But I've become an Audi guy. I like my Q5.
Right, which is why I just need you to try the whole spectrum of the selection here.
That's a good
point. They will let you try that car if they have it.
Marshall, has there ever been a bigger disparity between hair and no hair in a studio before than what's happening today?
I was thinking about that when they made the comment originally. I was just like, yeah, they got us beat.
Yeah.
It's like, whether it's, you know, fake or not, it's yours. So,
yeah.
That's what my mama tells me when she sends me a picture of her in a wig. I was like, nah, don't do that.
And text her, yes, I did look into the Civic Type R. I it's on the list. Like, trust me, I've been doing this. The birthday's been coming up for a while, and I've been midlife crisising for
year,
a minute.
Was I telling you on air about the Supra? I was also like, if you want to go that model concept car, just go with like a 2000 Supra. That's
I think
still
we were talking about it off air because Schuster has a Supra, and I always love seeing his Supra at the United Center. And I'm like, man, that's a good car.
Is it like the 96 with like the handle and the four lights on either side? Like, it is like the Fast and the Furious type Supra?
Yep.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Shu.
I was not familiar with his game.
Yeah,
but where are you going to drive this thing? Are you going to take it to the burbs and just like
See, that's the beautiful thing about it. It's all-wheel drive, so it can live in this city for forever. So that's part of... I'm still me. So that means that I have to start thinking about, like, well, where am I going to park it? Can I drive it in the winter? Like, all that stuff is still
in here.
Oh, you
want something functional.
Yeah, functional but fun.
Okay. That's the goal. You can't spell functional without fun, so yeah.
That's you're right. Damn right, Marshall.
You're going to put the fun in functional.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do on the show today. Sarah's here, if people didn't realize it. Sarah Spain is here. She's going to hang out with us. We are going to talk a lot about the Cubs and about Sarah's Cub fandom, especially today. We'll explain what that means coming up in a little bit. Seth Wickersham is going to join us at 3 o'clock. We figured we'd get his thoughts on Caleb's thoughts on the things
but
that are going on.
I was told it was a non-story, and people should have already read the book that didn't come out.
That part. So we're going to do that. Weedsy. Dan Weeder is going to join us at 4 o'clock. Sarah's going to jump out of here at 5 because she's got to sell some books. Cassie Carlson will be in here at 5 o'clock because she's got to sell some bears. So we're going to have a lot of fun on today's show. We will get it cracking after Tanny's Open next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.